Boston Celtics win on Christmas. Jaylen Brown goes off. Gordon Hayward is back. Marcus Smart has gone through hell, and I'll talk about it all on this Friday edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. It's a Friday, the end of the week. I want to say the end of the work week, but maybe you worked, maybe you didn't. I don't know. But Christmas week and the Boston Celtics kicked off the Christmas Day slate with a win over the Toronto Raptors. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com. Podcasting from a secure location out in the wilderness. Still bringing a podcast to you, even as I enjoy a couple of days with family and friends to celebrate the holidays. I hope you had an opportunity to do the same if you celebrated. If not, just go ahead and, you know, have a drink anyway. Why not? There's always something to celebrate, right? We're celebrating this win over the Toronto Raptors. I'll talk about Hayward. I'll talk about Smart later. But this win over the Raptors was a very good one, even though the Raptors were shorthanded. It was very nice to see multiple really high-end performances for the Celtics. They did a great job just imposing their will as the game went on. I think they came out a little too kind of, you know, cavalier, a little too casual, let's say. And then after that first time out, it was like, all right, get your heads out of your asses and let's go. And they did. And by the third quarter, they went on this run where it was just a three-point barrage. And they slowly built this lead where it was hit a three, go up 10, then Toronto hits a regular, like a basket, a layup, a jumper, go back, you know, up 8, hit a three, now you're up 11, and it was like a three-pointer for a two-pointer, and slowly it went from 11 to 12, eventually up to 15, 16, and it just slowly kept pushing out of reach. And the thing about the Raptors in this one is that it felt like they didn't have the firepower to answer, and ultimately they didn't. Fred VanVleet tried to keep it close. Kyle Lowry didn't do a ton in this game. It's not like the Dallas comeback. Lowry shot 4 of 13, was only 14 points. It was really VanVleet who was doing anything, and the Celtics just kind of kept the pressure on defensively. They kept going at the Raptors and answering whatever the Raptors were doing defensively with some good ball movement. They were pressing. The Raptors were pressing. And the Celtics were able to break that press with some real solid ball movement, passing. Basically, with so many talented players on the floor, you know, you get the ball inbound to Kemba. Kemba gets it over to Hayward. They kind of wait, invite a trap. And once the trap comes, right before it really becomes a solid trap, they kick it out. And then you're inviting another trap. You draw more defenders. And you get it up. Hayward got it up to Tatum on this one particular play. Tatum draws another defender. And it becomes an alley-oop. These techniques that Toronto's using can be effective if a team isn't prepared for them. You know, they like to throw in a bunch of zone, like to throw in a bunch of different looks. That was, I believe, a 2-2-1 press or a 1-2-2. Like, it was a kind of a weird zone press that, I mean, I haven't seen since high school. And when teams aren't prepared for it and you don't really know what's happening, you can get stuck. But the Boston Celtics are uniquely constructed with all of their wings and ball handling and ability, some size, some length. They can see over the top of some of these traps. And once you see it coming, NBA teams can break that stuff. I mean, there's a reason why the NBA doesn't employ a lot of that stuff. Some of it is pure ego. Some of it is, well, this is not how we do things in the NBA. But some of it is also because when an NBA team knows what it's doing, you cut through that stuff very, very easily. And the Celtics did. The third quarter belonged to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown had 16 of his 30 points in the third quarter. It was just a myriad of moves, spin moves, crossovers. Maybe a little bit of a carry on one or two of them. But if they're not going to call them, then they're good. But still, Jaylen out there doing some serious work. And after the game, Kemba Walker summed it up very well by saying, "This is how it's going to be this year. Some guys are going to have it going in certain games, and you have to respect who has it going." And that's not something that they did last year. And I'm not turning this into a Kyrie thing. It's just that they had too much across the board similar talent. And it was not just Kyrie working Gordon Hayward back into things, Jaylen and Jason, Mook, Rozier, all of these guys. You had 2-3 guys after the original four. Horford, who didn't really dominate the ball or anything like that. He wasn't feeling like he was going to have to put up a ton of shots, but Horford still put up. He's Al Horford. I mean, of course he's going to shoot. So they had a bunch of guys who thought they deserved the shots and they were willing to shoot. This year with the four guys, it's different. You don't have those extra three or four that are like, hey, you know what? I need to take 15 shots a game. That's not happening. So the Celtics are able to kind of respect who's hot. And also, another huge key element here, Kemba coming from the Charlotte Hornets. It's very reminiscent of KG coming in from Minnesota or Ray Allen coming in from Seattle. Not that he's necessarily that level of player. I mean, those guys are at another level. Kemba's obviously an all-star player and extraordinarily, good player, star player. But my point is that he came in from a situation where he was hungry. And unlike the Kyrie situation, where he had come in already having won a championship, and he won it so early that he's like, I know how to win, and we're going to do it this way. And Kemba's just like, you know what? I haven't won. So if we have to win by me not being used in 35% of my team's plays, then great. I hope my usage rate goes down. And then he comes in and has a game where Jason Tatum goes off against Charlotte, and he just kind of stands back and does nothing in the fourth quarter. And a game where Jaylen Brown goes off against Toronto, and he just kind of like takes, I don't want to say a backseat, because he had a pretty damn good game himself. I mean, he scored 23 points in this game? 23 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3. So it's not like he took a complete backseat, but still only 16 shots. He could have taken more. My point is that with Kemba in his situation and his mindset, and Gordon Hayward now being good again, but also very unselfish and willing to move the ball and pass and make whatever right play he has to make, those two guys make it very possible for a Jaylen and a Jason offensive explosion. They're very, very willing to just feed those guys and respect the hot hand and just say, okay, Tatum had it going against Charlotte. Let's just keep giving it to him. Let's find ways and not just give it to him and get out of the way, but let's run some stuff and make sure that we're working the offense and getting it to him so he can cook, but not just be like, here, go. You know what I mean? It's working within the offense to get the hot guy his shots. And they did it for Jaylen. They did it for Tatum. And Kemba knows that he's going to get his looks. He's going to average his 20 points. And that's the other thing. With these four guys working together, you can have a game where you're like, oh, I only had 13 in this game. Okay, no problem. Because you're going to score 23, 25, 26. And that 13, well, you take the 6 and the 3, and now all of a sudden that's 19. And you're up, all of a sudden the average is getting around 20. So having that one game where you just score whatever it is, 10, 11, 12 points, like that's not a big deal because there's going to be an explosion. Your night's coming and that will help average things out. And everybody will get to average about 20 points a game, which is right about where they are. So right now, three Celtics average 20 points a game because they're not too worried about getting their touches in individual games. In the long haul, in the long run of 82 games, these guys finally understand that one off night is not going to kill you because we're already just looking back and saying, hey, three guys average 20. We're not sitting there saying, well, Jaylen had this many points and then he had this many points in this game. He had this many points in that game. We're just saying he's averaging 20 and Tatum's averaging 20 and Kemba's averaging 20. We overreact to the individual games, but we forget about it quickly. So that's my big reaction out of this game is having come out of that Charlotte game and going into this game and seeing another guy have his turn and Jaylen drops 30, you know, that helps the average because in the Charlotte game, what do you have, like 13? So, I mean, that's important to have these games that, you know, hey, you were feeling it. We got it to you. Everybody feels good about it. You can get on the team bus, on the team plane, feel good about it. Knowing that, hey, if I've got it going, like, I'm going to get the ball. And I'm going to get my chance to shine. So, and I think right now, the way the Celtics are going, they've got three all-stars. I think Kemba ends up being a starter, and I think Jaylen and Jason end up being reserves. I just think they're playing well enough where that's how it's going to work out. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. A little bit more Gordon Hayward talk, and then Marcus Smart and the hell that he's gone through with his eyes. That's coming up next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Gordon Hayward came back from his foot thing, the nerve pain, and looked good. Played 26 and a half minutes, only shot nine times, but hit 6, 2 of 4 from 3. Didn't shoot a free throw, but 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, couple of turnovers, but generally a very nice game that will fly under the radar because obviously Jaylen went off and Kemba had a very nice game. But Hayward's return just goes to show how you can see how different the Celtics offense is with him in there because the ball just moves. And I think having Hayward, having all of these guys together, it allows for that guy to find his offense. It greases those skids. It makes it more likely that somebody's going to go find his offense because one more guy that makes the right play, that is a very willing passer, who is a very good cutter, who can draw defenses, who can read defenses, that is a very, very important guy to have. And when he's out there, I mean, I like Brad Wanamaker, but Wanamaker doesn't play at that level. And you can still, obviously, because Marcus Smart it wasn't there, Wanamaker got 20 minutes. It did a nice job, but he's going to be a guy whose minutes get reduced. And when Smart comes back and you have another guy out there that reads the defense, can see it, can make cuts, can make plays, it really just increases the possibility of the ball finding the guy it's supposed to find. How many times have I talked in this podcast about the ball finds the right energy? And that's ball movement, cutting, setting picks for one another. Eventually, you shake the defense free, you find its weakness, and that guy gets going. And often enough, it's the same guy because he has the same matchup that he can take advantage of. And if he takes advantage of it a couple of times, then the next thing you know, he starts making the tough shots. And that's where guys really start to get cooking. You hit a couple of shots, you feel good, and then all of a sudden that defense, that hand in your face, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And you start to see, like, Jalen went off spinning and crossing over, defender in his face, doesn't matter. And then the confidence to make these moves, to pull these moves, that little extra bounce when you're dribbling, you're like, oh yeah, baby. I mean, it's hard to describe that feeling, but there's a definite feeling there that when you're going and you have that confidence and you see a defender in front of you and you just know, man, you got a little extra bounce in your step. You feel like, I've got this guy set up. I hit him with this 2 times in a row. I'm going to fake this and go this other way. And with Hayward on the floor, I mean, Hayward could be that guy, but with Hayward on the floor, it facilitates that. Because what's Hayward doing? Hayward in this game did a great job of driving, getting to a spot somewhere in the lane, somewhere 10 feet from the basket, rising up and hitting a bucket. And having that guy that can soften up a defense that has to be respected, that has to be guarded. Well, now when someone else is feeling it and Gordon Hayward's on the floor, it has to be guarded, then that's just one extra bit of space. And another thing that I talk about on this podcast a lot is how that extra inch or two of space is the difference between getting a good shot off and turning the ball over or getting stopped. That's how precise things are in the NBA. And to have Hayward back and open things up, you're definitely going to start seeing more of these guys start to find their own grooves because they're playing off of Gordon Hayward. And I thought he looked good. I didn't see anything wrong with his foot. No one after the game had anything that said his foot was a problem. So it feels like, for now anyway, that it's okay. And we'll see what happens before the Cavs game on this Friday early evening, 4 p.m. start. Looking forward to seeing everybody and their families at the Garden, by the way. A 4 p.m. start is there so fans can bring their families. But we'll talk to Hayward and get a sense of how his foot feels. And also Marcus Smart. He's now questionable for that game, which is an upgrade. He's not out. So we'll see. And I'll talk about that next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Marcus Smart returned, talked to the media anyway, in Toronto and described the hell that he faced going through the eye infections, which is really scary. Because we've already said that this is one of the worst cases of this viral conjunctivitis that doctors have seen. But Smart said that he was worried, and the doctors were worried, that he could suffer some level of blindness out of it. Which is really scary. Like, I don't know how you do that. Like, how does that even happen? But he, I don't know, he had a cold, something happened, and he just got this really bad infection. I mean, can you imagine being there, a professional athlete? I mean, you're already, first of all, Mark is already dealing with a bunch of injuries and stuff. And you're like, oh, I got this eye infection. Like, of all the things that nearly take Marcus Smart out, it's an eye infection. And he's sitting there with, you know, barely able to see, his eyes puffed up. And he's talking about the doctors are saying that he could have suffered some blindness. And that's just frightening. But Marcus Smart could be back soon. He's, like I said, he's back with the team. He traveled. So it's really now a matter of getting his wind back. He said before the Toronto game that he's 80%. And he actually would have tried to play in that game, which is very Marcus Smart. It's a very Marcus Smart thing to say. Yeah, I could have gone blind, but I wanted to play tonight. Like, come on, man. But that's good. And you know, we're going to see now with Marcus Smart back at some point here. If it's not against the Cavs, it, you know, maybe against the Raptors. Whenever it is, it's going to mean a change in some of the minutes. And we'll see how that impacts, like I said, guys like Brad Wanamaker. His numbers will drop. Romeo Langford is an interesting guy because he did get some minutes. He was in the first group of subs against Toronto. I assume that his minutes will start to drop. Although, look, Brad's not going to play Marcus Smart a ton. I think if he's ready and if he can see, then I assume that him being 80% means he can see. They wouldn't have put him out there if he couldn't. They wouldn't have put him, you know, in front of the media if he couldn't. So I think the Cavs game could be a good game for him to just kind of get his feet wet, get out there, play a few stints, you know, get out there and have an 8-minute run and be out of breath. So I don't want to say I would expect, but I would hope that Marcus Smart can start going against a lesser opponent. I think that would be a good time to try it. The other thing that Brad Stevens said recently is this is, you know, January is going to be where he starts resting guys. Now, I don't know if this is going to be the game. Obviously, it's not January yet. But a lot of these back-to-backs, does he take this opportunity, if Smart's back, to rest maybe Kemba Walker? I wouldn't be opposed to that because Kemba's played every game. I mean, Kemba wants to play, I'm sure, but this is the front end of a back-to-back, played Toronto again on Saturday. Why not sit him? And I think part of why you actually take advantage of this is because Wanamaker has been going so well and Langford has shown something in the minutes that he's gotten recently. And why not just try Smart and as the starting point guard, and you can still with Hayward back, you can run a lot more through him. Your bench guys are still in their rhythm. They're used to playing a certain amount of minutes with all of these injuries. Sit Kemba down and just let these other guys go through their flow. It's the Cavs. Like, they should be able to beat the Cavs without Kemba. You know, with Smart and Gordon and the two Jays, I think that could be very much enough to beat the Cavs very easily. So I would say give Kemba a day off. Take Friday off. Get ready for Saturday. You know, start the load management. My only downside to that is, like I just said, Friday, it's families. They all paid money for these tickets. They want to see these guys. You know, it would suck to finally bring your kids to a game on a Friday afternoon and not have Kemba Walker be playing. That's always the downside to load management and to resting guys. So I don't know. Maybe you play a preseason style thing where he plays the first quarter or second quarter and then you rest. I don't know. I'm just thinking long term. Like, I want the kids to see Kemba, but they'll still see Tatum and Brown and everybody else. So that's a tough one. That's always a tough one. But anyway, I think it's an opportunity. Like, if we're looking long-term basketball, just give Kemba a rest. Just take advantage of it while you can. All right, that's the podcast. Hope it sounded okay because I'm using something different to record. If it didn't, I apologize, but we'll see. I don't even know how it sounds until I play it back. And I'm certainly not re-recording it, so you get what you get. And I hope it sounds good. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope you enjoyed enough to subscribe. All of you longtime listeners, appreciate you very much. Go ahead and give that 5-star rating a good written review. It's, as always, it's very helpful. And share the podcast. When people ask, what podcast should I be listening to? And I've seen you do it on Twitter. Keep doing it. Tell them you should listen to the Lockdown Celtics podcast here on the Lockdown Podcast Network.